From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. And on this day, we'll look at how some Maine voters are interpreting ranked choice voting and the referendum about ranked choice voting, and what's being called a major milestone in loon conservation. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Insurance companies in Maine that'll offer individual health insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace next year are proposing premium increases between about 5 to 9%. The Congressional Budget Office had predicted increases of at least 10% as a result of the repeal of the ACA individual mandate penalty. That repeal takes effect in 2019. Several Maine jails have used naloxone at least half a dozen times to reverse drug overdoses. A 2017 state law now allows Maine corrections officers to administer naloxone. Previously, only police officers could use the drug overdose medication. Advocates praise the law for addressing the reality of a lack of 24-hour medical staffing in county jails. And Maine Independent Senator Angus King says he'll vote to keep ranked choice voting in next week's referendum vote. He says it's not right to ignore the will of voters and that this system looks like an instant runoff election and that several states have runoffs. A week from Tuesday, Maine primary voters will participate in a historic Democratic experiment. They'll be the first voters in the country to use ranked choice voting in a statewide election. But some voters are eager to test this new system early, and a few of them allowed Maine Public Radio to observe as they ranked candidates in order of preference instead of just picking their favorite. As it turns out, these voters were not nearly as confused by the process of ranked choice voting as they were about a separate ballot question that could determine whether Maine keeps the new system for future elections. Steve Missler has our story.
Come on in, please. Welcome to my home. No, don't worry about it. That's the herd.
Shauna Milliken-Humphrey has sequestered the dogs in the basement for her first attempt at ranked choice voting. A registered Democrat who lives in Hollowell, Humphrey has done some research about the do's and don'ts for this rarely used method of deciding elections. She's checked out the Secretary of State's election page and watched this video tutorial that's been viewed thousands of times on YouTube.
Let's say that blue is your first choice, the person you would most like to see win that elected office.
Humphrey knows from her research that she doesn't have to rank all seven Democratic candidates running for governor, so she's settled on ranking just three. But she's a little torn about who will be her top choice: Attorney General Janet Mills or Augusta lobbyist Betsy Sweet, who also lives in Hollowell.
I think both of them would do a wonderful job. Betsy Sweet is the local choice. She aligns with my values. And I also feel that Janet Mills has a lot of experience and might be a better choice for the overall state. So
Humphrey deliberates out loud before making her final decision.
So I think that is going to be Janet Mills as my first choice, and I think Betsy Sweet is my second choice.
Humphrey's dilemma was shared by Stephen Ferrand, a registered Democrat who lives in Freeport. Like Humphrey, Ferrand has a pretty good idea of how ranked choice voting works. When it was on the ballot in 2016, he voted for it, in part because he thinks the system will help avoid the outcomes of the most recent gubernatorial contests.
I regard Paul LePage's election and re-election as a real disaster for the state. I don't think it would have happened if we had not had prominent independent candidates.
Supporters of ranked choice voting say its unique tabulation and its requirement that the winner gets at least 50% of the vote will avoid splitting the votes in races with multiple candidates. But as Ferrand mulls his absentee ballot, he finds himself thinking strategically. He says he wants to vote his heart and make Betsy Sweet his top choice. But he worries Sweet may not be as strong a candidate in a statewide race as Janet Mills, his number two choice.
When will that person fall out of the count and then my number two will kick in? How do I deal with that? So it's very complicated.
There's a reason for Ferrand's dilemma. While ranked choice voting is being used on primary day, it won't be used during the gubernatorial election in November because of a Maine Supreme Court decision last year that found it unconstitutional in that contest. That means the split vote factor could be in play during the general election, and that weighs heavily on Ferrand's calculation. After ruminating for a few minutes, Ferrand carefully marks his ballot.
So that is Betsy Sweet for number one.
He marks Mills number two. In total, Ferrand ranks five of the seven Democrats. That's a sharp contrast to Martha Currier, a registered Republican who lives in Augusta. Currier ranked as one of the four GOP gubernatorial candidates, State Senator Garrett Mason, and she says she doesn't have strong feelings about the other three.
Well, I guess I should put some.
You don't have to.
I know I don't have to, but I feel like if I don't, then maybe my second choice, you know, doesn't get in. But at the same time, I'm not crazy about this whole process. So it's tricky.
Currier has never supported ranked choice voting. She voted against it in 2016. She also supports a law the legislature passed last year that would delay the use of ranked choice voting in November's congressional races and potentially repeal the entire system 3 years from now. Humphrey, the registered Democrat from Hollowell, has the opposite view. She wants to keep it. Yet Humphrey and Currier both have trouble with the wording of Question 1, a ballot measure that will determine whether the legislature's delay and repeal law stands. They both read the question several times.
And then retain the method only if the Constitution is amended by December 1st. Okay, hold on.
We've got to make these things, I think, as complicated as possible.
After a close reading, Humphrey and Currier finally decode the language of Question 1. Humphrey votes yes to keep ranked choice voting, and Currier votes no. The two women's experience could foreshadow a bigger problem for supporters of ranked choice voting. The ballot question may be intended to save the new system, but confusion over its wording could sink it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Portland-based Biodiversity Research Institute is calling the return of an adult male loon to a chain of ponds in southeastern Massachusetts a major milestone in loon conservation. The loon was born in another state, captured by biologists as a chick, and taken to Massachusetts in an effort to imprint it in a place where loons disappeared more than a century ago. Susan Sharon has more.
The male loon is known as Chick Number 4-2015. He's one of 16 loons born in New York and Maine over the past 3 years, separated from its parents as a chick, and raised in a partially submerged holding pen on a pond in Lakeville, Massachusetts. There, he learned to feed on his own and grew bigger. He was released from the pen, got acquainted with the other transplanted loons in the area, and by the time the skies darkened and the first snow flew, so had Chick Number 4, along with his comrades. They typically spend 3 years at sea.
The next question is, okay, do they come back as breeding adults and stay on territory? And we're finding that next step is happening right now.
Dr. Dave Evers is an expert on loon ecology and conservation. He's also director of the Biodiversity Research Institute, which has been conducting one of the largest loon studies in the world. Loons are a key indicator species, and their populations have declined in some places because of hunting, habitat loss, and pollution. BRI's research is focused on three populations, in Wyoming, Minnesota, and in the Northeast.
We're actually kickstarting the recovery of loons, of breeding loons, in the state of Massachusetts in some of these areas that would still take decades for them to recover, if they ever recovered at all.
Translocation, the practice of moving wildlife from one area to repopulate another, is one of BRI's strategies. It's done only with permission from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies. This is the sound of a single loon chick being captured on Panther Pond in Raymond, Maine in 2016. Loons are hard to catch, so biologists do their work at night. They use large dip nets and spotlights that temporarily hypnotize the chicks long enough so they can scoop them into a boat and take them to shore. After that, the chicks are transported in a special container in a quiet, air-conditioned vehicle until they reach the Massachusetts destination. Biologist Joe Roy.
Part of you, the human emotional part of you, feels bad for stealing the chick, but then the scientific part of you kicks in. You're like, oh, well, it's all part of the greater good, expanding the range back to its historic range and stuff like that.
Similar efforts have worked for peregrine falcons, trumpeter swans, and whooping cranes. The return of Chick Number 4 is evidence that loons will return to lakes where they fledged. In general, that's about 50%. Evers says it's still too early to say what will happen with the Massachusetts experiment. The other adult loons are expected over the next few weeks.
If we had I don't know, 30, 40, 50% then that came back of the chicks that we released, we'd be very happy.
And says Ever, so would the residents of Lakeville, Massachusetts. This famous haunting call, so common on main lakes and ponds, hasn't been heard in Lakeville for 130 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.